So we're going to start this afternoon by looking at John's Gospel, and we're on John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and hopefully this is a story that most of you will recognize. The wedding at Cana. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the least expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at faith this afternoon. And I just wanted to start with a brief question to ask, what do we put our faith in? Where do we place our faith? Now, one interesting thing that I notice a lot of, especially people my age, is they'll say, "Well, I hope that such and such will happen or won't happen, touch wood." Now, I'm not sure how many of you believe in the power of wood and the power it can have to exercise, authority over what's going to happen. But I'm actually guessing that wood itself is not that powerful. Otherwise, we'd be using it for so much else in terms of organizing our lives. But having spoken about it with some others before this afternoon, most people, it's a habit. It's a habit that comes from wherever, because their parents might have done that, and as a child, they copied their parents, and they just say, "Touch wood." But just in case you're thinking there's any special power, I would suggest not. What other things might we put our faith in? Horoscopes? Luck? Superstitions? Now, in cricket, I know that one or two famous cricketers in the past used to have to put their left pad on first before they put on their right pad. Otherwise, when they went out to bat, it would bring them bad luck. And I know one cricketer once said he did get it the wrong way round, and as he was going out to bat, he went, "Oh no, I put them on the wrong way round." Naturally enough, he was out third or fourth ball. He couldn't concentrate or focus because he was so fixated with the fact he got his pads wrong. Now, is that a self-fulfilling prophecy? Is that the fact he did put his pads on wrong? I go with a self-fulfilling prophecy personally. What else do we put our faith in? Our own rational thinking, our own feel for wanting to control what's going on, because we're worried that if we let go of control, then it's a bit scary. Or do we put common sense as first? Well, God gave us common sense, so that's what we should use in everything that we decide upon, because that's what that will all be of God. That's what God's giving us. Or do we truly put our faith in God himself? And that's what I want to think about this afternoon. Because here in this story, we see a major celebration. And in those days, in that place, wedding celebrations weren't just one day. They went on for a number of days. So there was a number of days of feasting and drinking and celebrating a wedding. But tragedy strikes. They run out of wine. And I can only guess that they ran out of wine at a very early stage. Because if it's towards the end of the last day, you know, it's not quite so bad. But here, it looks like there's going to be a major embarrassment for the bridegroom, possibly the master of ceremonies. Whoever's done the wine ordering has obviously grossly undercatered. Now, that's pretty serious, running out of wine at a wedding in those days. Actually, has anyone ever been to a party where they've run out of alcohol and you'd fancied a drink? A few nods. Yep, I've been to one. I've been to a pub where they'd been completely drunk dry of bitter because, being naive, I'd gone on a Saturday night after a showing of a rugby match in an afternoon. Great mistake. That wasn't here. This is somewhere else. But what was I thinking of? Could I have a pint of ale? No. Pint of lager? No. Oh, my word. Anyway, great embarrassment. A real practical problem. But for me, a lot of this is actually about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because Jesus' mother has obviously found out, and she goes straight to Jesus. Now, it says here that this was the first sign that Jesus did, so I'm guessing that Mary might not have seen Jesus do anything completely miraculous yet. But of course, Mary knows he's God, because an angel told her. And therefore, Mary probably thinks, well, I don't know what he's going to do, I don't know what Jesus is going to say, but I'm going to have a guess that he's going to try and sort this out. I'm just guessing that Jesus might be the man for this job. So she goes and tells him, and Jesus really helpfully says, dear woman, that's not our problem, my time's not yet come. Now, I don't know what you'd feel about that. I'd feel a bit kicked in the teeth on that one. But Mary persists and goes to the servants and thinks, right, I'll just ignore what Jesus said there. I'm going to carry on. I have faith that he can do something. And she tells the servant, and this is, you've got to be confident, she's a woman. She is a lady in those times who really don't have much of a voice. And she goes to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. That is confidence in someone else. Do whatever he, my son, tells you. And of course, we then see that Jesus produces Chateauneuf du Pape, where they've been obviously drinking Tesco's or someone's claret before. Sorry, not the saying that Tesco's is bad, before anyone does me for that. I drink Tesco's claret, I drink Sainsbury's claret, and any other claret. I'm just covering myself there. But basically, Chateauneuf du Pape comes out in those jars. It is the most amazing and brilliant wine. Jesus surpasses the expectations that possibly Mary had and that possibly anyone else had. Jesus does the best in that situation. Jesus, of course, did many, many, many other miracles, many of them healing and to do with people. Here we see him doing something on a practical basis. So it's clear to me that Jesus is really interested in all aspects of our life. So if it's a small and trivial thing, because you look at this, he's not sorting world peace out here, he's producing wine for a party. But I think that's because he is so interested in every part of our life. So where is our faith in Jesus? What do we believe Jesus can do for us? Do we draw a line in the sand where we think, well, Jesus could do that, but not go beyond that? And this is where I'm going to share something fairly personal, which I know will touch one or two of you gathered here, and I know it will. But please bear with me and stick with me, because I really believe that this is what Jesus wants to say to us today. Because faith fluctuates in people a lot depending on their experience of what Jesus has done in answering prayer or not answering prayer. So, I've had various issues in my faith levels with Jesus. So I go to a new wine festival. I hear of Jesus doing amazing healings on people. And at New Wine, they focus on all the wonderful healings. I did the Alpha course, and I hear Alpha saying, God heals, Jesus heals, and there's healing happening today. And they look again at all the healing that's happening. So I become a curate of the church where I'm going to train in 2011. And there's a lovely, wonderful man on the PCC, on the church council. He's 60 years old, and I get there, and he's been diagnosed with cancer. And I think, right, I've been to New Wine. I've heard it all done. I've seen the healing. I know it's going to happen. So this is the moment when I go and I pray like mad for this one man. And I know the church is praying for this man to be healed. And we're just, this is going to happen. This is really going to happen. Suddenly, he was 60 years old. He deteriorated and he died. Bang. Snap. That broke me. Completely, utterly broke me at that moment. I'd been praying for this miracle. I was so convinced that there was all this faith there in this church who believed he would be healed, and he wasn't. I think I was more broken than the guy's wife, and she was broken. But at that time, it was just horrendous, and I just wanted to share that today because I know that that is where I had to start redefining what faith was in Jesus. And for me, it was a very pivotal point in my discipleship. Because how could I have faith in someone who hadn't answered my prayer? How could I? He did all those healings in the Bible, and yet he didn't heal this wonderful man of God. And I was even saying to God, this is your moment. You heal him. We've got a testimony to share with all the non-Christians around, and we can bring them all in, and they'll all worship you, and everything will be fantabadoozy. So let's now look forward, because he is the God who turns water into wine. He is the God who does bring healing to people. I've now come to the conclusion that we're never going to be answered to questions as to why bad things happen to some and why some are healed. We just will never know in this lifetime. And there's no way that we can know because we're not God. And it says in Corinthians that we see but dimly in this life. We can't see the mind of God and why things happen. And the other thing is that this world is under the rule of the enemy, of Satan. But God's kingdom is breaking in. It's breaking in because Jesus died on the cross and defeated Satan by rising from the dead and defeated the final weapon of Satan. So the kingdom is coming in, and the kingdom is gradually being brought in, which is why we see glimpses of things happening, why we see healings happen for people. But because the kingdom is not fully established, sadly, it is not as widespread as we would like to see. Why some? Why not some? I wrestled with that. I still wrestle with it today. But the thing I come to with faith in Jesus is the pure fact that we find Jesus in the darkness and the rubbish that goes on in our life. When things are really bad and we feel broken, and I'm going to quote from what Rachel said last week, Rachel described the vulnerable are the ones who are then ready to receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit in power. And it's when I finally cried out to God and said, "Why? I can't deal with this," that suddenly I felt a connection begin to grow. And that connection began to grow stronger. He never answered me why, but all he did was take me, take my hand, and start to lead me back into a relationship with him, a relationship that was closer and started to grow stronger. But it took a lot of building back up. And I was a curate at this time, trying to preach faith and the word of God from the front, and I struggled to because I was struggling with my faith. But I just thank God that he met me in my brokenness because I cried out to him. And in the end, I just said, "Look, I have to let myself go. I have nowhere else to go. I have nothing left spiritually." And then he came. He touched me, and I felt his presence, and then I started gradually to just feel more at peace with myself and with the world. And it's that I would want to say that I believe Jesus wants to try and offer to us this afternoon afresh. He wants to meet us in our vulnerabilities, in our brokenness, to meet us where we are. Because we are the church of Jesus Christ. And the reason he wants to meet us where we are is because, again, as I've mentioned many times, there are so many hurting and broken people around us who have no light in their dark times, nothing to shine in their broken, damaged, and difficult lives. And if we can reach out to Jesus in our vulnerability and become a success story in our own right of how we have personally overcome the darkness, then we have something to offer to those outside who walk in darkness. Because one of my great privileges so far as a minister, but it's not just me who can do this, anyone can do this, is to meet people in brokenness who are damaged, to sit and to pray with them, to pray that they would connect to God. And I've been so privileged to be able to pray with a number of people now who'd never previously connected, who then suddenly went, "Oh, I suddenly feel peace. I suddenly feel connected to someone." And I've seen people begin a Christian journey which has then just moved on and on and on, and as they grow deeper, they've changed and they've become more peaceful and they've been healed from their internal brokenness. And that for me is where faith in Jesus really comes in, because Jesus will never let us as individuals down in coping with the difficult things which we blame Jesus for, because we have no one to turn to. Why didn't you do that, Jesus? Why didn't you help me? No answer on that, but the faith comes in finding him in that darkness. And it's not just about us trying to do that as individuals, because as the church, he gives us each other to help to find Jesus. Because a lot of people are too broken to even reach out or cry out. And it's a few, couple of those that I've done recently where I've met with someone who's just so down, and I've just sat there and said, let me say the prayer for you. Let me help you. And there's one particular guy who lives in Cricklade. I'm not going to mention his name. He, in the last few months that I've been visiting him, has moved from being in great darkness to suddenly now being able to talk to God through the Holy Spirit. And actually, he's opening himself up and he is starting to come alive. And in fact, he was suffering with some sort of illness, not quite a cold, but something similar to that, and he was in a lot of pain. And I prayed that he'd be delivered from some drug abuse thing that he'd been going through. And as that left, he said he could feel it leave him, and then suddenly said, I actually feel better. So there's a bit of physical healing there, but it's the spiritual that Jesus was healing then. So I don't want to say much more than that, especially as it's 5 o'clock. But I would just want to encourage each one of us that Jesus is there. He is someone we can have faith in, but it takes work. Rather like building a new relationship or a friendship, you meet someone for the first time, but to move from that point to a position of trust where you completely open up can take many, many, many meetings. And so it is with God. We start and then we grow in our relationship. It's not an overnight thing and it's not simple, but if we all help each other and we open ourselves to Jesus, then he will help us on that journey. And I just want to finish with the very last thing. There are many among us who would love to help people in their brokenness to connect to the Holy Spirit and receive that help that people need. And there are many of us who would love to do that. I would spend hours with someone if it made a difference to their lives. I would do that, and I know there's others who would do it. Please just come and ask, and I will happily spare that time for anyone in that situation. And I know there's others who would do the same. So let me just finish with a prayer and then we'll have our last song. Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know the answers to why certain things happen and certain things don't, even when we believe we pray to you in faith. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that you meet us in our weakness, that you can and do and are ready to connect with us and help us to walk through those broken times. And Lord, I just ask and pray now that you would touch those of us who are broken in any way at this time. That you would help us, Lord, to cry out to you, to make ourselves vulnerable to you. That you would touch us, that you, the God who turned water into wine, that healed the blind, would bring healing to us in our brokenness, and that you would make us spiritually and mentally whole, that we could then minister in turn to the broken. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Touch each one of us and help us to strengthen our connection with you. So I'm just going to ask Matt and Sarah to come out and start playing the last song. If you would like to stay in an attitude of receiving from the Lord, then please do so. Don't feel obliged to sing along with it. But if you would rather sing the song, then please do so. But please go as you feel the Lord leading you now.